begin the shiur by reading through the psukim that are relevant to our discussion today in Parashas Maaseh. And we're going to refer here to Perek Lamed Hei, and we'll start with Pasuk Chaf Beis. Up until Pasuk Chaf Beis, we have the case of Rotzeach B'Mezid. Chaf Beis and on is the case of Rotzeach B'Shogeg, an unintentional murderer. The Im B'Feta below Eva Hadofo, etc., etc., Vayapel Allah, Vayamos, Vahu Lo Yevlo. They're not enemies. Velo Mevakesh Ra'aso, he was not seeking out his, you know, to kill the person. The Shaftu Ha'eda Bein Hamake Ubein Gol Adam Al Mishpatim Ha'ela. The Gol Adam thinks or accuses the Rotzeach of killing the Mezid. Bezdin is going to intervene here. Based on testimony, they're going to establish that this Ritzicha was unintentional. And the Gol Adam will not have rights to put the Rotzeach to death if the Rotzeach takes advantage, he avails himself, of the Ir Miklat. And in fact, Bezdin is going to try to encourage that situation, that the Rotzeach will get himself to the Ir Miklat. That's in Pasuk Chaf Hei. The Itzilu Ha'edas HaRotzeach Miyad Gol Adam Ve'ishivo So Ha'eda El Ir Miklato Asher Nas Shama. The Rotzeach will find refuge in the Ir Miklat. The Yashav Ba Admos HaKohen HaGadol, and he lives there, in effect, away from his family, away from his home. He has to establish a new home in the Ir Miklat up until the moment that the Kohen Gadol dies. And then the Torah adds one important point. If the Gol Adam leaves the Ir Miklat, he exits the, crosses over the bounds of the Ir Miklat, the Gol Adam finds the Rotzeach Michutz L'Gvul Miklato, outside of the bounds of the Ir Miklat, the Rotzach Gol Adam is a Rotzeach, and the Rotzeach took the law into his own hands, and he put, I'm sorry, the Gol Adam took the law into his own hands, and he put the Rotzeach to death, Michutz L'Gvul Ir Miklato, the Rotzeach, right? Ein Lo Dam. There won't be any claim against the Gol Adam. The Gol Adam took advantage of the situation that the Rotzeach found himself outside of the bounds of the Ir Miklat, and he puts the Rotzeach to death. In such a case, there's no legal, shall we say, repercussions or criminal action taken against the Gol Adam. And why? Because the Gol Adam killed the Rotzeach outside of the bounds of the Ir Miklat. A few questions to raise at the outset. Number one, why does the Rotzeach go free with the death of the Kohen Gadol? That seems very odd. Question number two, why is it that the Rotzeach, if he killed B'Shogeg, Ein Lo Dam, he could be killed by the Gol Adam if the Gol Adam chances upon the Rotzeach outside of the bounds of the Ir Miklat? That doesn't seem very fair. Is there some explanation for this? And a third question that I want to raise with you is, what does it mean when it says, Im Yatzo Yetzei HaRotzeach Es Gvul Ir Miklato? How or why did the Rotzeach actually leave, exit the bounds of the Ir Miklat? These are a few of the questions I want to raise right off the bat, as we say at the outset. Perhaps we'll add some questions later on. What we want to do now is study Makos, the second perek of Masechta Makos. We can't learn the whole perek, but one of the highlights of Masechta Makos is a sugya on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So we're going to open up the Gemara. I have a Gemara here, and you could follow if you have the Maror Makomos that I sent you, which is based on an essay from a sefer called Torah Ladas on the parsha that we read yesterday. And much of what I'm going to quote from the Gemara, I like to go back to the Gemara, you'll see in these pages. So on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Mishnah says that Eino Yotze, the Rotzeach does not leave the Eir Miklat, Loli Eidus Mitzvah, V'loli Eidus Mamon, V'loli Eidus Nefashos. In other words, even though under normal situations we would subpoena this individual to come testify in front of a court, but in this case, we cannot subpoena the individual who's a Rotzeach, who's attached and confined to the Eir Miklat. And it matters not how severe, how profound is the need for the Rotzeach to show up in the Beis Din. It doesn't matter if it's Eidus Mitzvah. Rashi explains Eidus Mitzvah is for Kiddush HaChodesh. We really need this witness at the time they were Mekadesh the Chodesh based on Eidi Ria. He has the testimony, and all of Klal Yisrael depends upon that testimony to establish Rosh Chodesh. Lo Eidus Mamon, there's a monetary lawsuit going on between the plaintiff and the defendant. This individual has testimony, which is very important for the court. Nevertheless, we're not going to allow him to leave the Eir Miklat. And finally, even in the case of Eidus Nefashos, even in a capital case, and we need his Eidus, he's not going to be let out of the Eir Miklat. Vafilu Yisrael Tzrichim Lo, even if Klal Yisrael need him, so therefore we would expect that he would be allowed to leave the Eir Miklat for the sake of Klal Yisrael. It's Eidus Nefashos, it's Yisrael Tzrichim Lo, and the Mishnah demonstrates this with a historical case. Afilu Sar Tzavol Yisrael Ki Yoav Ben Tzruya. Yoav Ben Tzruya was the military head of Klal Yisrael at the time of David. He was the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. We need him desperately, and we're not going to let him out. Eino Yotze Misham Li'olam. He can never leave the Eir Miklat. And the Mishnah quotes a pasuk, a verse, to prove this. Asher Nas Shama. He flees there. Why did the Torah add the word Shama? Sham Tehei Diraso. That's where he's going to live for the rest of his life. Sham Tehei Misaso. That's where he's going to die. Sham Tehei Kfuraso. That's where he's going to be buried. So that's one chunk of the Mishnah. B'li Neder, we'll come back to this. The Rotzeach who's in the Eir Miklat has to live there, has to die there. He doesn't leave under any circumstances until the Kohen Gadol dies. Then the Mishnah goes on to say the following. Rotzeach sheyotza chutz l'tchum, if he exited the bounds of the Eir Miklat, umetzo gol adam, the gol adam found him, Rabbi Yossi Aglido, mitzvah biyad gol adam. It would be a mitzvah, it would be mandatory for the Gol Adam to take revenge because this man killed his close relative and see to it that this Rotzeach is put to death. What about other people other than the Gol Adam himself? Rishus biyad b'nei adam. Here says Rabbi Yossi, it's not a mitzvah, it's just a rishus, the green light is given, and any person could take advantage of that and put the Rotzeach to death. He's outside the Eir Miklat, but there's no obligation. The obligation is incumbent upon the Gol Adam and only on the Gol Adam. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rishus Biad Gol Adam. In disagreement with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva insists that there's a green light for the Gol Adam. He has license to put the Rotzeach to death outside the Eir Miklat, but it's not a mitzvah. And then we have four or five words that close this Mishnah, and that depends upon what the proper text, the Gersa in the Mishnah is. The text that we have in our printed Mishnah says, V'chol Adam Chayovim Olav. What does this mean? What does this mean? Kol Adam Chayavim Olav? It means that according to Rabbi Akiva, the Kol Adam is allowed to kill the Rotzech outside the Yermiklot. No one else is allowed to do so. Anyone else who does so will be put to death as a regular Rotzeach. And that is the girsa of many Rishonim, the Ritva, and others. And it says in the Mishnah, Kol Adam Chayavim Olav. Before the Ritva, we have the Ramban, and then we have the Ran, who's the contemporary of the Ritva, Kol Adam Chayavim Olav. However, the Ritva refers to a second girsa, and according to that girsa, Kol Adam Ein Chayavim Olav. No one else will be put to death if they kill the Rotzeach, meaning Kol Adam, any person like the Kol Adam has the green light to put the Rotzeach to death. This girsa is accepted by the Kesef Mishnah, by the Gra, and by the Tosus Yontif. Why is it that the Ramban and the Ran refuse to accept that second girsa of Kol Adam Ein Chayov and Olav? What objection would they raise against the girsa as we have it, Kol Adam Chayav and Olav? That's a very, very fascinating question. I'm not sure of the answer. I think perhaps the Ramban and the Ran have trouble in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference of extending this license of the that was granted exclusively to the Kol Adam to anyone else. But what I really wanted to focus your attention on is the flip side question. Why does the Ran reject Kol Adam Ein Chayav and Olav? That would make sense. If the Torah says Ein Lo Dam, that no one's responsible for spilling the blood of the Rotzeach, it makes sense that we should extend that from the Kol Adam to others. But I think the objection has to be formulated thusly. What do you mean, Kol Adam Ein Chayav and Olav? Why would the Mishnah differentiate between the Kol Adam in one Bava, in one section, and then Kol Adam in another section? At the end of the day, the halachas are identical. To the same extent that according to Rabbi Akiva, we give Rishus to the Kol Adam, he has the green light, he can go ahead and kill the Rotzeach. The same applies to Kol Adam. So why did the Mishnah say, according to Rabbi Akiva, Rishus Fiat Kol Adam, V'Kol Adam, Ein Chayav and Olav? Once you say V'Kol Adam, apparently you're introducing a new halacha. So the Meiri offers an answer to this question, to defend the Kesef Mishnah, the Gra, and those who agree with that girsa. He says, with regard to the Kol Adam, L'chatchila, he's encouraged, we recommend that he take the life of the Rotzeach. The Rotzeach had no business leaving the Eir Miklat, and if he does so, then we encourage the Kol Adam to fulfill the mitzvah that's incumbent upon him. Well, I wouldn't call it a mitzvah, because again, we're going to Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili who calls it a mitzvah, but yet the language of Rabbi Akiva with regard to the Kol Adam, namely, that it is a Rishus, Rishus sounds like, go ahead, we invite you to take advantage of this opportunity. But Kol Adam, no one else is allowed to take the life of the Rotzeach. And therefore, L'chatchila, we would certainly tell any person other than the Kol Adam, don't you dare dream of killing this Rotzeach. He's a Rotzeach b'shogeg. He doesn't deserve to die. Don't kill him. B'di'eved, according to this girsa, Ein Chayav and Olav. Once the Torah is established with regard to the Kol Adam, that this man, the Rotzeach, is Ein Lo Dam, then b'di'eved, we're going to have to extend it and apply it to any person who takes the life of the Rotzeach. The Rotzeach now, once he leaves the Eir Miklat, he's in a state of Ein Lo Dam, and therefore, though we would discourage anyone other than the Kol Adam to go ahead and take his life, but if they did so, b'di'eved, then the halacha is that we cannot put them to death, they cannot be held liable. What is the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva? Why does Rabbi Yossi think that there's a mitzvah on the Gol Adam to kill him? Why does Rabbi Akiva insist that it's only Rishus? And the Gemara addresses this question on Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara says the following. This is in the middle of Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and you'll see it on the pages that I sent you. My time with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why does Rabbi Yossi Aglili believe that there's a mitzvah on the Gol Adam to kill the Rotzeach when the Rotzeach leaves the confines of the Ir Miklat? So the answer is Miksiv. Does the Torah say Im Rotzach? Okay, let's go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Vim Yatso Yetze Harotzeach, etc. Umatzaso Gol Adam Virotzach Gol Adam Es Harotzeach. And he, the Gol Adam, kills the Rotzeach. And then it says Ein Lo Dam. Rabbi Yossi Aglili argues that if there's no mitzvah on the Gol Adam, and the Torah is just telling us the way Rabbi Akiva would understand it, that if the Gol Adam took the law into his own hands, he's not culpable, we cannot put him to death when he kills the Rotzeach, it should have said Im Rotzach Gol Adam Es Rotzeach. The language of Virotzach, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is a command, it's a mandate, and he shall kill. Virotzach Gol Adam Es Rotzeach. Rabbi Akiva counter argues. Rabbi Akiva says, Miksiv, if you're right, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and there's a mitzvah, the Torah should have used a stronger, a clearer language. Instead of saying, Virotzach Gol Adam Es Rotzeach, it should have said Yirtzach. Yirtzach is the language of tzivui, of a mitzvah. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, Virotzach means he's allowed to do it, he has license to kill the Rotzeach, and if he does so, ain't lo dumb, but there's no mitzvah incumbent upon him to kill the Rotzeach. Is there a third shita besides Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili? And the answer is yes. There's a third shita, and that's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer actually hold? So if you take a look at the very next Gemara here on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Amar Mar Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, Rotzeach sheyotza chutz l'tchum umitza'o gol adam varago nerag olav. Wow, here's a new story. If the Rotzeach is killed by the Gol Adam, even though it's outside the confines of the Amiklat, the Gol Adam will be put to death. Not only is Rabbi Yossi Aglili wrong, there's no mitzvah incumbent upon the Gol Adam, even Rabbi Akiva is incorrect, and there's no reshus for the Gol Adam to kill the Rotzeach. He's not allowed to do it, and if he kills the Rotzeach, he'll be put to death, as every single Rotzeach is put to death. So the Gemara asks, Kiman, the sheet of Rav doesn't fit with anybody. Lo ke Rabbi Yossi Aglili, v'lo ke Rabbi Akiva. Doesn't fit in with anyone's shita. And the Gemara answers, who the Omar Rav holds ki haitana, like Rabbi Eliezer in the Brice, the Sanya. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer's shita was left out of the Mishnah, but it appears in the Brice. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, what does the Pasuk mean? It says in the Pasuk, V'lo yamus ha-rotzeach ad ondo lifnei ha-edo l'mishpat. The Rotzeach is not put to death until he stands in judgment. Ma Talmud Lomar, what is this Pasuk coming to teach us? It doesn't seem to be teaching us much. We would certainly not dream about executing a criminal before he appears in front of a court and he's condemned and found guilty. Says Rabbi Eliezer, the Torah is addressing a different case. The Torah says in our pasuk that we're studying that the Goel Adam put the Rotzeach to death. Yachal, I might think that the Rotzeach, that the Goel Adam has a heter, he has a license to miad immediately before the Goel Adam, excuse me, before the Rotzeach is condemned in a court. Talmud Loma. Therefore, the Torah says ad ondel lifnei ha'edel mishpat. And until that time, the Rotzeach is not considered liable and worthy of the death punishment, and therefore, if the Goel Adam puts the Rotzeach to death before Ad Ondo, before Amida L'Mishpat V'Bezdin, then the Goel Adam will be judged as a murderer and he will be put to death. In other words, according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, as opposed to the previous two sheetahs, the Goel Adam does not have license or permissibility to kill the Rotzeach at all. Only in Beis Din can we judge this criminal, this Rotzeach, for death, and then the Beis Din will bring in the Goel Adam and he will execute the murderer. And there is here an interpretation of the Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the Chachmei HaTosus, and he says, Lo huzkar Goel Adam b'mikra el inyin zeh, she mitzvah olav lasar shehareg harotzeach b'bezden. The only mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Goel Adam is to bring the Rotzeach to justice, to court, and see to it that if indeed the court issues a verdict condemning the Rotzeach as a murderer, then the Goel Adam will implement that death sentence. However, I just want to point out that the Ritva has a different understanding of the Gemara. He understands that the Goel Adam eino rashoi lahargo ad sheyisru bezdin berotzeach. That bezdin has to give a hasra, a warning to the Rotzeach. Sheim yifshe. The case is where the Rotzeach left the confines of the Yermiklot. Now Beis Din says, the Goel Adam is not allowed to put him to death until Beis Din brings the Rotzeach to court and gives him a warning. And they say to him, if you leave the Yermiklot once again, a second time, then Damo Baroshcha, your blood is on your head. Because if you go out of the Yermiklot a second time, then and only then is the Goel Adam allowed to kill him. So let's just summarize. There are two versions in the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. According to the version of the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, the only mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Goel Adam is to see to it that the Rotzeach is brought to justice. Beis Din does the rest, and if they condemn the Rotzeach guilty as accused, then the Rotzeach is given over to the Goel Adam to be put together. On the other hand, the Ritva's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer is totally different. Rabbi Eliezer also agrees that there might be a mitzvah, or at least a reshus, given to the Goel Adam to put the Rotzeach to death if he leaves the Eir Miklot, but not on the first round, but rather on the second round. Meaning, Beis Din will warn him, don't you dare leave the Eir Miklot. If he violates that warning, then Beis Din can put him to death. And now, I just want to point out to you that I want to point out to you that there is an extra pshat here, which you'll see in the Sefer Torah Ladas that I sent you on page Shin Mem Aleph. The paragraph that begins Yesh Mefarshim, he quotes Rabbeinu Chanana. Rabbeinu Chanana El Mayri, Lufi Rabbeinu Chanana Mayri Kan, Berotzech Shiyotze Chutzutchum, Kodem Shiyigmar Dino Legolos, Umetzol Gol Adam Vahargo, Dinerag Olof. It means that after the murder took place, immediately the Rotzeach to be brought in front of Beis Din. Beis Din will decide if he indeed has to go to the Eir Miklot. That will be their verdict if they find that he killed B'Shogeg. And up until the moment
that Nigmar Dino, that Bezdin has handed down a verdict that he's Chayiv Galus, the Gal Adam will be killed if he puts the Rotzeach to death. It's only once there's a Gemar Din, a final verdict that's handed down by the Bezdin, that this individual, this Rotzeach, is Chayiv Galus. At that point, the Rotzeach has to get himself quickly to the Ir Miklat. He's got to remain there. He's going to be protected from the Gal Adam. But if the Gal Adam finds the Rotzeach outside the Ir Miklat after the Gemar Din, then and only then is the Gal Adam allowed to put him to death. If you could fast forward to your page Shin Mem Beis, he quotes a Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech wants to understand a very interesting question. What happens if this Rotzeach defends himself against the Gal Adam? The Gal Adam is running after him. The Rotzeach is outside the Ir Miklat. The Gal Adam is very serious about putting the Rotzeach to death. Does the Gal Adam have the right to defend himself and does the Rotzeach have the rights to stand up and defend himself against the Gal Adam and put the Gal Adam to death in self-defense? And the Mishnah Lamelech raises this question in Perek Aleph Milchus Rotzeach, and he comes to the conclusion that this is an open and shut question in the Gemara in Sanhedrin with regard to Zimri. You remember just 2 weeks ago we read about Zimri, and Zimri was put to death by Pinchas in an act of kanos. And the Gemara establishes in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Beis that if Zimri had turned around and in self-defense killed Pinchas, Zimri would not be killed for that. Meaning even a person who is being chased and pursued legally and rightfully, he, nevertheless, this pursued individual can turn around and defend himself. And the Gemara establishes that Zimri could have defended himself and put Pinchas to death. I'm not sure why that didn't happen. Maybe Pinchas was too quick on the draw and Zimri didn't get a chance to defend himself, but I'm sure there are other answers to my question. But the bottom line is that the Mishnah Melech sees an analogy from that case of Zimri to the case of a Rotzeach B'shogeg to stand up and defend himself, even if it means putting the Gal Adam to death. I have here in front of me an Aruch Laner. The Aruch Laner claims that there's an early source in Chazal called the Sifri Zuta that contradicts the conclusion of the Mishnah Melech. And there it says, Umatza Oso, meaning the Gal Adam found the Rotzeach outside of the Ir Miklat. Prat Lematza Hu Gal Adam, what does that mean to the exclusion of he, meaning the Rotzeach, finds the Gal Adam? Says the Zayis Ranon, quoted here in the Aruch Lader, Kavanas HaSefri Lomer Shematza Rotzeach Es Gal Adam, if the Rotzeach now attacks the Gal Adam, Ein Omrim, we don't apply the universal principle of Habo Lahargecha Hashkem Lahargo, that the Rotzeach has the right to take the initiative and put the Gal Adam to death in self-defense. Ela Asur Lo Lahargo, V'im Hargo Areyu Mischayev Olav. It means that if in self-defense the Rotzeach kills the Gal Adam, the Rotzeach will be killed as a Horig B'mezid. He has no right of self-defense to put the Gal Adam to death, in contrast to the Mishnah Lamelech. So here in the Yalkut Biurim, he quotes the Shiurim of Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, the great Rosh Hashiva Panovich, who wants to reject this Raya and defend and protect the Mishnah Lamelech. That same Sifri has another piece to it. And it says, Rotzeach v'rotach gol adam biyad kol mishi argenam. And Zayis Ranan explains that this Sifri reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Rishus Biyad Kol Adam Lahargo. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that there's a mitzvah on the Gal Adam to kill him. Dafka, it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili who would say that it's usur for the Rotzeach to kill the Gal Adam. And that's because the Gal Adam is fulfilling a mitzvah. You cannot classify the Gol Adam as a Rodev and allow the Rotzeach to defend himself and put the Gol Adam to death in self-defense, because the Gol Adam can't be a Rodev if there's a mitzvah to kill him. And therefore, in that case, the Sifri addressing the Sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili establishes that the Rotzeach is not allowed to kill the Gol Adam. But the Mishnah Melech is accepting the Sheet of Rabbi Akiva, which means that the Gol Adam is no mitzvah to kill the Rotzeach. It's only Rishus Biad Gol Adam. Now we could say that the Rotzeach himself has a right to classify and consider the Gol Adam as a Rodev, and therefore the Rotzeach, has license to kill the Gol Adam in self-defense. So basically, Rav Shmuel's Chiddush is that the Sifri is not a contradiction to the Mishnah Melech. There's no contradiction here, because the Sifri is premised on the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that there's a mitzvah on the Gol Adam. Therefore, it's impossible to classify the Gol Adam as a Rodev and allow the Rotzeach to kill the Gol Adam. Whereas the Mishnah Melech is reflecting the Shita not of Rabbi Yossi Aglili but Rabbi Akiva, there is no mitzvah on the Gol Adam to kill the Rotzeach, and therefore we can classify the Gol Adam as a Rodev, and the Rotzeach could defend himself. And then Reb Shmuel adds another piece. He says, Yesh l'chalik, you could distinguish ben adin shel kanoim pogim bo shebazeh nemar sheilu kam zimri v'har l'pinchas v'ayin neregalov. It means that in the case of Pinchas, Bezdin did not give Pinchas the, shall we say, the mandate to put Zimri to death. That was Pinchas' own decision under the halach of Kanoim Pogimbo. Bezdin would not encourage him or recommend him to do so. Masha'enkin, in the case of the Rotzeach, who left the Yer Miklot, once he leaves the confines of the Yer Miklot, he's Mischayev Misa because of leaving the Yer Miklot. That's how severe the violation of leaving the Yer Miklot is. And even though we assume, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that according to Rabbi Akiva, that is only a reshus to kill him. Mikol makom, zemichi yuve yitziyasa shemachmas maisav reshus biad gol adam lehargo. In other words, because the maisa of the Rotzeach, now when he leaves the Yer Miklot, is so severe, it engenders a halach of reshus lehargo. Not a mitzvah largo, according to Rabbi Akiva, but reshus largo. Therefore, the Gol Adam could not be considered a rodev. And the Sifri makes sense, even if I accept the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. The Gol Adam is not considered a rodev, because Beis Din is really, in a sense, allowing the Gol Adam to implement the punishment for the chiyuv that hovers over the head of the Rotzeach the moment he exits the Yer Miklot. So again, according to this explanation, there's a fundamental difference between the case of Pinchas, of Kanoim Pogimbo, and the case of the Rotzeach who leaves the Yer Miklot. Even though Rabbi Akiva, in the case of the Rotzeach, is not willing to go as far as Rabbi Yossi Aglili and mandate the Gol Adam with a mitzvah to kill him, only he has a rishus, but nevertheless, where does that rishus emanate from? From the fact that the Gol Adam, that the Rotzeach violated his chiyuv by leaving the confines of the Yer Miklot. Therefore, there's a rishus to have him, to put him to death. And according to many Rishonim, that rishus extends even to other people. Chatchila, b'dieved, whatever it might be. Masha'enkin in the case. So, basically, Beis Din is supervising and pushing the button, allowing the Gol Adam to kill the Rotzeach, because of the Rotzeach's chutzpah in leaving the confines of the Yer Miklot. Not so in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, there Beis Din doesn't get involved at all, and that's why the Gemara thinks that Zimri could treat Pinchas as a rodev. If you take a look on Shin Mem Beis, the second paragraph, he says, the Mishnah, and we read this earlier, holds that a Rotzeach B'Shogeg who goes into the Amiklat does not leave the Amiklat even for Eidus Nefashos. So the Tiferes Yisrael, which is the Yochanan Boaz in the old time Mishnayos, those who still use those Mishnayos, he asks, wait a minute, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that if the Korban Pesach was not brought on time, and they already brought the Korban Mincha Shel Bein Arbayim, there's a mitzvah of Hashlama that the Korban Bein Arbayim should be the last Korban of the day. Nevertheless, because Pesach is so severe of a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah Sheyesh Bo Kares, if we don't fulfill it. Therefore, that mitzvah that's so weighty will override, will trump the mitzvah of Hashlama, which is not Kares. So using that logic, says the Tiferes Yisrael, let's compare the two mitzvahs. I grant you that the Rotzeach has a mitzvah, he's mandated to live and remain in the Eir Miklat. But that's only an Asei Kal, relative to the Asei of saving someone in a murder trial. And how much more so when it says that Afilu Kol Yisrael Tzrichem Lo, that's a mitzvah gedola, a mitzvah chamura. It's no different than Korban Pesach. Lo samad al dam riacha. So he answers that in this case we cannot of the rotzeach, we cannot apply the principle of esse docha esse, that an esse chamur is docha an esse kal, because the rotzeach is under the impact of many, many different mitzvahs. He's obligated in the pasuk vehei shivu osolir miklato. In another pasuk that says v'yashav ba. In a third pasuk that says v'ir miklato yeshev. Every time the Torah repeats itself, we slap another mitzvah onto the rotzeach that he has to remain in the ir miklat. And therefore, this mitzvah is not going to be pushed aside even for another asay, which is chamur, which is much more profound. Because you're going to, on the scales, you're going to put three mitzvahs against one mitzvah. Each one of the three mitzvahs in and of itself is kal. But when you put them together, the combined forces, you get a powerful essay that cannot be overwritten by an essay chum. Then he quotes another answer. On the Mishnayis, there's a commentary called the Avas Eisan. He says that once the Rotzeach violated such a severe Isur, like Shvichas Damim, albeit unintentionally, he needs a kapara so desperately. And he needs, in order to achieve this kapara, a yeshiva tedira be'ir miklat, a constant living in the ir miklat. Every moment, for the rest of his life, he is atoning for his sin of Ritzicha. And therefore, Lo huta lo lotzeis af lekayim mitzvah shebit biyitziyaso mechaser atzmo min hakapara. Even for the sake of a great mitzvah, he doesn't have to forfeit his kapara that will save him for the world to come. Now he quotes a third teretz in the name of the Siach Yitzchak and others. Kevan shebiyitziyaso matir atzmo legol adam. This seems to be the sharpest answer. The very moment that the Rotzeach leaves the Eir Miklat, the Gal Adam could put him to death. Therefore, he would be in jeopardizing his life the moment he steps out of the confines of the Eir Miklat. He's not obligated to put himself into a sakana, even for the sake of a kiyuma mitzvah, because pikuach nefesh is docha kol mitzvah satorah. And if this be the case, perhaps we can answer another question. The Mishnah says, "Afilu Yisrael tzrichem lo, and yotzi misham liola." Why shouldn't we be docha the mitzvah of yeshiva beir miklat for the pikuach nefesh of kol Yisrael? And the answer is that my pikuach nefesh doesn't have to be overridden, doesn't have to be trumped by the pikuach nefesh of someone else, even if it's called kol Yisrael. Very difficult position to maintain. But that's what he says. Why did the Tiferes Yisrael refuse this answer? If you remember, he gave a different answer about the fact that there were many S in here. And the answer is that he might hold that a person has to put his life into jeopardy in order to save other people from a definite sakana. If the Yisrael tzrichim lo, because someone's going to die if he doesn't go out there, then we have to allow him to go out there, even if he exposes himself to the Gol Adam, because chayav adam la'achnas es atzmo l'chlal safek sakana, for the sake of someone else's vadai sakana. This may be the halacha with regard to professional lifesavers of, you know, firefighters and policemen and all sorts of people who put their life into danger, but it's only a safek for the sake of someone else's vadai pikuach nefesh. Here he quotes the Ar Sameach with a very interesting chiddush. The Ar Sameach says, in the case of Kol Yisrael Tzrichim Lo, why can't Beis Din escort the rotzeach from the Ir Miklat to wherever he has to go and protect him on the way, like a witness protection program? And he answers, because the Torah understood the nature of man. The Gol Adam is burning for revenge. Ki yicham levavo, the Torah says. And even if you afford the rotzeach with protection, even if you would issue a decree that states that no one's allowed to touch the rotzeach, we need him desperately, even with the gzeir of the melech, of the king of the area, or of gzeir of Beis Din, you're not allowed to touch him, the Gol Adam would not be able to withhold, to overcome his desire, his burning desire, to kill the Gol Adam, to kill the rotzeach. And therefore we cannot institute a takana that undermines the natural propensity of man. You may have seen that when I announced the shir, I wanted to talk about the Gol Adam both in terms of halacha and in terms of hashkafa. So if you'll bear with me just for another few minutes, we'll finish up the shir by quoting a gemara in Masechta Makis on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The gemara establishes, based on the Mishnah, that the mothers of the Kohen Gadol, of the Kohen Gedolim, would be mesafek mazon, food, and ksus, and expensive clothing, for the rotzeach in the Ir Miklat. And why is that? So the Brice explains, according to the first solution in the Brice, the two Lishonos, that even though we have a rule which is established by Shlomo Melech and Mishle, kill as chinam lo tavo, that you cannot curse somebody and bring about his death if it's a kill as chinam, why should the Kohen Gadol deserve to die? The mothers of the Kohen Gadolim are worried about the Rotzim in the Ir Miklat. They will pray for her son's death so that he can get freedom. Who cares about that tefillah? Why should Hashem pay any attention to that tefillah? That's a kilas chinam. The Kohen Gadol, there's no reason in rhyme or reason why the Kohen Gadol should die. Let these Rotzim pray from now till doomsday that the Kohen Gadol should die. Why should that be meaningful? So in the first Lishna, the Gemara quotes in the tradition in the name of Rava, Shehayalem levakesh rachamim al doram v'lo bikshu, that the Kohen Gadol was guilty because he was negligent in prayer. He had the power to pray on behalf of the people of Israel that there should be no ritzicha, that there should be no blood spilling. Apparently the Kohen Gadol was remorse in his responsibility. He did not implement his chiv tefillah and his bakoshes rachmim al klal Yisrael. Therefore he's guilty. The klala of the rotzeach is not chinam. It's well justified. And therefore, what's going to happen is that because these rotzeachim are so eager to go back home, nobody likes to live in gullus. No one likes to pack out and leave the confines of his family, of his friendly atmosphere, of his local town. And therefore, he's going to pray for the demise of the Kohen Gadol. And that prayer has power to it. How do the imoseyim, the mothers of the Kohen Gadol, stave off such a prayer? What they do is they supply the Kohen Gadol with michyo ksus. You know, they probably buy him the fanciest shoes from Rodeo Drive, and they buy him suits with, one of those labels on it, Calvin Klein. I don't know, I'm not even into the fashions, I don't know. And that's gonna quiet down the Rotzeach, and he's not gonna pray for the death of the Kohen Gadol. I see here in a sefer called Vigadita from Rav Yaakov Galinsky Zichrono Livracha, one of the great Mashgichim here in Eretz Yisrael, he just passed away. He says, take a look at the prayers of the Rotzchim. The Mishnah assumes that they're going to pray for the death of the Kohen Gadol. What a selfish prayer, he says. All they care about is their own freedom. The fact that the Kohen Gadol should die, that doesn't interest them. Yamos, let the Kohen Gadol die, kidei shani uchal lachzor habayta, because I want to go home. What a selfish prayer. And Rav Galinsky says, you should not be surprised by this, by the existence of such a phenomenon called a selfish prayer, because the Mishnah speaks about a selfish prayer at the end of the seventh parak of Yevamos, in a case of a Kohen Gadol who passes someone from eating truma. What's the case? The case is that a Bas Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, who's allowed to eat truma, marries a Yisrael. She marries out of the Shevet. And then, from that marriage, they have a Bas. They have a daughter. Once she marries the Yisrael, then she can no longer eat truma. She's married to the Yisrael. Now they have a daughter. This daughter marries a Kohen. Now the law would be such that if her husband would die, normally she would go back to Beis Avia and she could again resume eating truma. But now that she has a daughter, so that daughter is a blockage, a barrier that prevents her from going back to Beis Avia, because that daughter came from a Yisrael, and it's as if her husband was still alive. And then, what happens afterwards? Again, her husband dies. If she had no children, she goes back to Beis Avia and eats truma. She now has a child. She cannot go back to eat truma. Now her daughter dies. If her daughter dies without children, she goes back to Beis Avia. If her daughter marries a Kohen, and they have a son, so now this grandson passes his grandmother from eating truma. Again, she's a Bas Kohen. She cannot eat truma because she has a grandson who is a Kohen, oddly enough. But this grandson keeps alive his mother who was born to a Yisrael. And then the Mishnah says that this grandson of hers became appointed as the Kohen Gadol. And what does the grandmother say? She says, "Lo kibni Kohen Gadol shehu posladi min atruma." The Gemara explains that normally we say about a Kohen Gadol, "Yirbu kavoso b'Yisrael." So many Jews should be like him. But she, the grandmother, about her own grandson, is refusing to say that. "Lo yirbu Yisrael kiben biti Kohen Gadol." Why? Because he passes me from eating truma. Tell me, my friends, does truma taste better than chulin? No. If you put spices on it, or if you fry it, they both taste the same. The only difference between truma and chulin is that truma is dirt cheap. There's very little demand for truma compared to chulin, and therefore by the law of supply and demand, the value of truma on the market, the estimated market value goes down, down, down. She, the grandmother, wants to get cheap food, and therefore she's unwilling to speak about this Kohen Gadol in such beautiful terms of Yirbu Kamos of Yisrael. How selfish can she be about her own grandson who's the Kohen Gadol? So Rav Galinsky tells a story to illustrate this. In his local community, there's a man by the name of Itzik who's a regular in shul, and I don't see him in shul. So I asked my next door neighbor in the Letterman shul in Bnei Brak, where is he? Lo shamati, you didn't hear it about it? He's in emergency care. He's in the ICU unit. He underwent bypass surgery. How's he doing? Baruch Hashem, at the last moment they saved his life. Nu, can I go visit him? Asks Rav Yankel Galinsky. In another day or two, now he's under strict surveillance. He's recuperating. Another 2 days go by, and once again I asked, how's Itzik doing? So one of the other members of the community, Zelig, says, I already visited him. And Rav Tanchum, another member of the community, is planning to travel tomorrow. Today I can't go, but I'm busy. So I'm not going to ask Rav Tanchum for a lift in his car. But if it's Hashem, in a day's time, I'm going to go visit Itzik. Well, I didn't visit Itzik. And Tanchum came back, and he says that Itzik was asking about me. Meaning, they must have told him that I'm okay. And he was asking, why isn't he coming to visit me? So I say, you know what, today I can't go, but I'll go tomorrow. Tomorrow, another fellow by the name of Pinya gives my regards to Itzik. And Itzik again asks about me. And Pinya tells me that Itzik is getting out of the hospital in 2 days. Whoa, I better get myself over and visit Itzik, because imagine how embarrassed I'm going to be if Itzik gets out of the hospital and I never visited him. Anyway, 2 days go by, I didn't visit Itzik, and I get the word Itzik already got out of the hospital. Tomorrow you'll see him in shul. Oh no, I'm very depressed. Oy. No, this is going to be terrible for me. I'm going to be so humiliated. I didn't visit him. How will I raise my face and look him in the eyes? Please, Ribbono Shel, have him die in your goodness of your heart. Could you imagine such a selfish prayer? Let him die so I shouldn't be uncomfortable. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that the Kohen Gadol, when he went Lifnai V'Lifnim on Yom Kippur once a year, he had to pray to Hashem that he doesn't accept the prayers of the Ovrei Drachim. We desperately need rain in Israel. But these Ovrei Drachim will be uncomfortable if it rains. They're on a tiyul. They're on a holiday. Selfish prayers. I just want to point out one thing. This is all possible, and it's a very good Musa Shmuz against selfish prayers, if you accept the Lishna Kama. But the Lishna Basra does not point such a heavily accusing finger at the Ratzim as if to say they pray selfish prayers that the Kohen Gadol should die. On the contrary, according to the Lishna Basra, the reason why the mothers brought all this good food and beautiful clothing to the Kohen Gadol is Kidei she'yispalu al bneihem shelo yamusu. Says the Arch Laner, there's a tefiyah in Himmel against the Kohen Gadol. Why didn't he pray and prevent this Ritzicha? The Kohen Gadol deserves to die. He was negligent, he was deficient in his prayers. Now we need a tefillah to counter and to protect the Kohen Gadol, because otherwise in the divine punishment scheme, the Kohen Gadol would die. So the mothers of the Kohen Gadolim will supply food and clothing to the Ratzchim in order to get to encourage the Ratzchim, please, pray on behalf of my son. Pray on behalf of the Kohen Gadol that he should live. Stave off the terrible judgment against him. And on the contrary, as a result of this, what's going to happen is that the Rots are going to do a very good deed, even though it's like shooting themselves in the feet. They're going to work against their own selfish interests. They want to get home. They want to return to their original town. They're going to stay in the Eir Mikloach because they're going to pray on behalf of the Kohen Gadol that he should live. So basically, we have two different hashkafot here about the Rotzim and why the mothers are supplying them with good food and beautiful clothing. One hashkafa is that, as Rav Galinsky points out, this Rotzeach is the paradigm of a selfish prayer. He's only interested in getting himself out of the Eir Miklot, even if it means at the death, the expense of the Kohen Gadol. But according to the second Lishna, I point out, there's a much more positive view, a much more inspiring view of the Rotzchim. After all, these are not intentional murders. Again, they were guilty of unintentional murder, but that's a lower crime. Maybe they'll rise up to the occasion. And they will be so thrilled with the Kohen Gadol, and so desiring of the Kohen Gadol living a long and healthy life, they will pray on behalf of the Kohen Gadol. The only kasha is, if that be the case, such altruistic prayer, it's a little bit shalol l'shma. Why are they doing it? Because life in the Eir Miklat is so comfortable. They've been supplied with the best food and the best clothing by the mothers of the Kohen Gadol. That's why they want to stay in the Eir Miklat. That's why they're going to be mispalel on behalf of the Kohen Gadol solange yar. It's not the most sincere of all prayers. But in any event, the bottom line is, we have to be very careful when we pray, and we should pray on behalf of others, and not selfishly because of our own desires. We should mamish be mispalel for the good of all of Klal Yisrael. And if we live up to that, then in Mirtz Hashem, we're using tefillah in the proper way, not selfishly, but selflessly. Before I thank you for coming to the Shia, I want to address a few questions from David. David says that according to those who say it's a mitzvah to kill the rotzeach, can the Gol Adam appoint a shliach? Well, I would say that he is not allowed to appoint a shliach. It's a mitzvah incumbent upon the Gol Adam himself, but Beis Din will become his shliach if he, the Gol Adam, doesn't step up to the plate and fulfill his obligation. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Zimri was too weak to defend himself. Okay, that's going to one opinion, but what's important for us is that theoretically, according to the halacha, he could defend himself, and had he done so and successfully, brutally killed Pinchas, he would be completely absolved from any condemnation of any guilt of any crime. The reshus to kill a rotzeach, is it like killing a treifa? Well, that's an interesting question. We would have to do a real research situation. I would say the following. Even if you hold that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's like Rabbi Akiva, it's only reshus. And in the case of Shar Adam, other than the Gol Adam, it's Bidyeved, I would still say it's not like killing a treifa. Killing a treifa is Ritzicha. No question about it. In the case of the Rotzeach, Ein Lo Damim means a lot more than that. It means, as we saw in the Aruch Laner, once the Rotzeach leaves the Eir Miklat, he's really Chayav Misa. In fact, before he gets to the Eir Miklat, he's Chayav Misa. When the Torah says Ein Lo Dam, the Torah is allowing him, I'm sorry, when the Torah says V'yonos L'Eir Miklat, the Torah is allowing him to find refuge in the Eir Miklat. But really he's a Rotzeach, and really he deserves to die. And therefore I would say that the Heter, the license to kill the Rotzeach when he leaves the Eir Miklat, is on a much more serious level than the license to kill a treifa. There's no license to kill a treifa. If one kills a treifa, we cannot put him to death. Maybe it's Eidah Shiata Yochel Azima, but certainly killing a treifa, and for that matter, speeding up the death of any individual, even a goseis, would be an act of murder. David says the Ein Lo Dam could be taken to mean that the Rotzeach is no longer alive. Again, not according to the Aruch Laner. You may find other interpretations that would wave such a banner. The Aruch Laner is saying that he's still alive, but because he left the Eir Miklat, he deserves to die. I wouldn't say that he's no longer alive. The treifa also is still alive. The treifa, for example, could be Megarish's wife. He has das. He could be Konen Makne. He can violate Isurim and fulfill mitzvahs. The only thing is, we suspend the person who kills the treifa from the death penalty. That's the unique halach of treifa. But otherwise, he's kechai l'chol dover. In the case of the rotzeh who leaves the Eir Miklat, he is exposing himself by virtue of this criminal act to death, and therefore, ein lo dam. I want to thank everyone for coming. Tomorrow we have a parasha shiur that's also derech alimud. Let me know if you or anybody else wants to get invited to the shiur. You may have already received my WebEx invitation. That shiur will take place in Mitzchem, the same time, the same place, tomorrow. And once again, please reach out to other people. Let them know about the shiurim so we can be marbitz Torah. We can add Torah at a time when we need all the Torah that we can get.